Once again, the potential for severe weather, even an isolated tornado, will be what a lot of people are talking about this morning, Paul. And the heat is back on, not to 90, but will be close and very humid.
What is the rating on this one in terms of the likelihood of severe weather?
In terms of the potential, it is the wind damage that is the key here. So we're going to check in with Joe Lundberg from AccuWeather in our next half hour and get the details on this front that's going to bring in actually less humid and more comfortable temperatures. Really, tomorrow's going to be spectacular, around 80 and lower humidity.
The National Weather Service severe potential rating for most of the listening area, is level 2.
So that gives you some idea.
That's a slight risk. Level 1, I guess, to the north of us, to the north and west of us, is minimal, I think is the word they use.
So it's there, and we'll keep you posted and let you know. And you can download the Odyssey app, by the way, AUDACY, take it with you, and we'll keep you up to date on weather information. Little sidebar to that story is Duquesne Light has come out with a new way to track when there are power outages due to storms.
That's right.
And it's up and running.
They announced yesterday that they're launching this new outage map, which you can have a look at it right now. I was looking at it just a few minutes ago. I mean, you can go right down to where the outages are by the city block. And they'll even tell you when restoration is expected. They'll give you a target time. So anyway, you can do that by the way, zip code, county, or community. More precise estimates are available on that website in terms of when they would be restoring. And there's a new alert system. They want people to log into their accounts and then make sure that Duquesne has their correct email address or cell phone number to be contacted so that they can send the outage and restoration information by text, phone call, or email.
And vice versa, if you want to report an outage at your residence. This is a significant technological upgrade, but especially since we dealt with 90,000 people, Duquesne Light, without power last Monday night.
This was in the works before
the
big storm, and they just didn't have it ready. And it's too bad that they didn't, because this is much more informative.
Well, last Monday's microburst and the power outages were the most significant since a winter episode several years ago. So major upgrade to Duquesne Light's website that'll make it easier to find out what's happening next time we lose power. Hopefully that won't be today. The NTSB has given their report on the train derailment of February 3rd, 2023. And
the bottom line is they say that a sensor just didn't pick up a bearing that was
on fire for 20 miles.
Yeah, burning.
And once they got to East Palestine, that's where the derailment took place. And the most significant event post that was the controlled burn of the toxic vinyl chloride.
And Jennifer Homendy said it was unnecessary.
And she also said that them being a partner, a party in the process, Norfolk Southern's abuse of the party process was unprecedented and reprehensible as part of the details of that release. And federal officials, by the way, as a sidebar to that story, finalized a new rule this Monday that will require railroads to inform first responders about what's on a train immediately after a derailment, something that was lacking during the East Palestine derailment. The industry says more than 2 million first responders now have access to the information via what they call Ask Rail app that allows them to look up any train's cargo contents. That's a significant upgrade. And then finally,
Pennsylvania State Police unveils informational card for people with autism.
To Myra Rush, this is important on a number of levels, this story that she reported on yesterday, Paul, because there are situations where a person on the spectrum, autism spectrum, is not verbally communicative or otherwise.
Here's what state police say about that.
Sometimes the behaviors that are associated with autism can cause barriers to effective communication. People may display behaviors that, to a police officer, would seem that this person's hiding something or choosing not to communicate.
So that is another significant, I think, an upgrade, so that the police officers who are sensitive to these situations don't misread it in that moment. And that could save everybody a lot of problems. So those are three stories a lot of people will be talking about, and we got you covered on the Big K Morning Show and much more to come. How lucky can one guy be? I kissed her and she kissed me. Like the fellow once said, ain't that a kick in the head? I love that old Rat Pack music.
Me too.
Dean Martin. You know, at one point,
Ocean's 11. I love that movie.
Oh, yeah.
And that's where that song comes from.
Great film. I think Dean Martin outsold Frank for a while there with his albums.
Wouldn't be surprised.
Anyway, I got some great stories for you guys. I dug these up. So here's an FDA. So these are news related, but they're unusual. FDA, just the headline alone, FDA warning on bimbo bakeries. The Food and Drug Administration warns Bimbo Bakeries, the maker of Sara Lee and Entenmann's, needs to stop using misleading labels saying products contain potentially dangerous allergens like sesame or tree nuts when they don't. FDA officials say in a warning letter, under its regulations, such products are misbranded and that food labels must be truthful and not misleading. They're also saying that allergen labeling is not a substitute for preventing cross-contamination in factories. Have you ever heard of Bimbo Bakeries?
It's called Bimbo. I think it's out of Mexico, and I don't think they're aware. I could be wrong about this. Let me make sure. Yeah, Bimbo. Bimbo Bakeries. It is, yeah, Mexican. Yeah, and I don't think they. I don't think they understand Bimbo. Is how it's pronounced down there. I don't think they understand how that translates up here.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
It's a very derogatory
word. It's spelled B-I-M-B-O. It's bimbo in America.
That's right.
Moon waste is now a concern. NASA is planning to send astronauts back to the moon as early as 2026. Governments and space agencies are quietly working out the practical and ethical dilemma of space waste management, specifically space poop. This is their words, not mine.
Oh, my.
Do we bury it on the moon or bring it back to Earth? After all, that microbial life might one day evolve into space monsters or something. They're concerned.
Oh, please.
If they leave a pile on the surface of the moon. NASA's six missions.
Why can't they use it in some other way? Like, can't they burn it like a fuel or something? Or
well, NASA... already with the six missions that they sent to the moon, have left 96 bags of excrement on the surface.
Well, now here's the scary part of this. Ready for this? A Chinese spacecraft just returned from the moon with roughly 5 pounds of rocks mined from the far side of the moon, in fact, and it came back yesterday. Now they better check out what they got.
They might. Hopefully they didn't pick up a bag.
Oh, jeez.
I've heard of moon rocks, but moon poop? No.
Oh, boy.
And finally, the CDC says that the number of STIs, yeah, is that it right?
Sexually transmitted diseases?
It says STIs, not STDs.
There's STDs and then STIs, which are sexually transmitted infections.
Okay. Oh, all okay. Right. Thank you, Aaron, for the clarification. CDC says the number of STIs among people age 64 and above is the highest it's ever been. Some diseases are seeing an almost 1,000% increase. Experts say there are two reasons. People are staying active later in life, but they also don't seem to think they need protection since they aren't worried about pregnancy.
Mm-hmm. Woo!
So there you have it.
Running rampant
in the retirement homes.
Yeah. Presumably, there are, I guess, these little blue pills that have a factor in all of this, too.
Hmm.
What's that village down in Florida, where they ride around in golf carts.
The villages.
And villages. And they have different color loofah sponges on their antennas, which indicate their preferences.
What's going on?
Oh, my goodness.
I don't know what the full buffet color is, but...
The Pittsburgh Tribune Review reports the head of the NTSB says Norfolk Southern tried to interfere with the agency's investigation into last year's train derailment in East Palestine, Ohio. The NTSB also confirmed that a flaming wheel bearing caused the derailment. Video showed the bearing was on fire for more than 20 miles before the accident, but trackside sensors failed to detect it. The NTSB also said the decision to burn off hazardous chemicals, which sent flames and smoke into the air, was unnecessary.
CBS's Anne Marie Green, that's how they reported it on the network this morning. The East Palestine train derailment of February 3rd, 2023. And Paul, we have some additional details to report. That 20 miles, the video that showed the wheel bearing on fire, as Emery said, undetected. And so that's what was...
So you're saying it went undetected for a length of 20 miles.
Right.
Sensors didn't pick it up at all.
With a train, you know, that seems with that kind of cargo. But there are some outcomes from what happened there that I think ultimately will be very beneficial for people, first responders in particular, to know what's on a train. What is the cargo any train is carrying? And look at all the tracks that we have here in the history of rail movement from a steel town to all over the nation. And these trains go right through densely populated areas each and every day. But for the folks in East Palestine, I'm curious, and we'll get some reaction from people living in that area after this NTSB report. Some of the findings, I guess, weren't a surprise, but the one that a lot of people are talking about is the fact that they did not have to do the, quote, controlled burn of this toxic vinyl chloride, which was the contents of several of the cars.
Now, that's after the fact, too. I mean, I wouldn't have liked to have been in the decision-making circle on that one. They were concerned about an explosion, and in hindsight, they didn't need to do that. I hope that they wind up with a good playbook for these kind of things based on what we've learned in East Palestine.
Well, Ohio's governor was part of the decision process, along with first responders and, of course, from Norfolk Southern. And they made the vent and burn decision based on the information they had at the time and believed an explosion was imminent.
Right.
And so, but in hindsight, they didn't know that it wasn't. So,
I don't want our reporting on this to sound like we're blaming them for something that they, you know.
Well, it was a collective decision.
They had to make a decision under duress without all the information they needed.
But the railroad already settled with the federal government and announced a $600 million class action settlement with the residents. So it's not clear how many additional consequences that Norfolk Southern could face due to the fact that the NTSB says that they tried to interfere with the process. So
that's not a good look for the railroad.
Potentially will be a secondary conversation. But the fact is that the NTSB chair, Jennifer Homendy, said that the derailment and subsequent chemical explosion were preventable tragedies resulting from a series of errors made by Norfolk Southern and its contractors. So clearly laying the blame there. And then as a follow-up, there's this new technology. It's an app that I guess that as of Monday, a new rule, federal officials finalized that will require railroads to inform first responders about what's on a train, which seems to make sense. I mean, you should know what your cargo is. And if something happens, first responders should know immediately.
Mm-hmm.
So they have, it's called Ask Rail. It's an app that will allow them to look up any train's cargo.
Certainly with the technology we have, that should not be a problem.
Yeah, and no railroad company should be hiding what cargo is that's on their train.
One other thing about this train, too, that, and I don't know what the NTSB report said about it, but the length of the train was an issue earlier in the discussions about this in the days following the derailment. I'm curious to know if the NTSB feels the length of the train was an issue, and that's something that needs regulation.
And Norfolk Southern CEO Alan Shaw has pledged to, quote, make things right in East Palestine with more than $100 million in aid to the residents and the community. They've also hired a consultant from the nuclear power industry to recommend changes and tried to work with labor. So this is an ongoing process, but it does bring somewhat of a finality to what happened and this report. So the outcome, still not 100% clear, but again, there was a settlement prior to this report release, which I'm curious. If they were that close to releasing the report, why would they settle before they knew exactly what happened?
Good question.
Doesn't it make good sense question. That you would wait till you see what the report says before you would settle?
This train was 151 cars long, 1.76 miles long.
Wow. I don't know much about everyday train travel here for cargo, but that seems like one of those super, super long trains. That's an amazing. So that's the story. There's still some unanswered questions about the future, but some finality to what happened in East Palestine, February 3rd, 2023. Coming up next hour, Rich Fitzgerald, now the executive director of the Southwestern Pennsylvania Commission, representing 10 counties, and we're going to check in with Beaver County and Butler County. Beaver County, there's a company, and there's a major and significant commitment financially to grow the job base, and Beaver County continues to do some really positive things. So we'll check in with Rich and that, and then up in Butler, get the details. You ever been to the Big Butler Fair, Paul? It's a big deal.
I have.
Oh, you've been there?
Mm-hmm.
Shumway and I used to go every year. In fact, we broadcast several years from the site in the morning, and frankly, Chumway was drawn to the cattle area. I don't know why.
It's the 4-H in him, probably, right?
Yes. Actually, people don't realize how many farmers we have. If you're a city slicker and live and work in the city, you might not realize that rural Pennsylvania, even southwestern Pennsylvania, is very prominent, and they're very proud of the work they do, and they should be.
I have to say, on a recent trip out to Lancaster in that area, when you come out the last tunnel on the turnpike, all you see is farmland and silos and barns the whole way.
And there's so much open land here. You know, you tend to think that it's all gobbled up, but it's not. But again, those people that make their living on farms and love agriculture, they're very proud of the work they do, as they should be. This should be Shumway's theme. Remember this song?
Beef. It's What's for
That's
Dinner.
That's right. Robert Mitchum was the actor that did
really?
That
okay.
originally.
Right.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Beef. It's What's for Dinner.
There you
whatever,
go.
However he said that. Not to be confused with the Arby's guy that says,
We've got the meats. I love that. If I see an Arby's commercial, I'll stop so I can hear him say it.
I may have to go to Arby's today. Get a, if you haven't had their cherry turnover, strong dessert call.
Okay.
At Arby's. Next hour at this time, we're going to give you tickets to a Pirates game for next weekend. They got the Bucko Luau weekend going. We'll tell you about that.